Hi, Tabaki Okada. I am the co-founder and creative director at Condition One, which I'm going to show you a little video later on, but not right away. I'm also involved in I do my own work through a company called Office of Unspecified Services, which is a very nerdy reference, if you get that. but I'm just going to kind of jump through. I actually put these things in here that I think might be a waste of time, but I'm just going to jump through them just to kind of describe where I come from. I used to be a designer at a firm called Pentagram Design. Worked with a designer called Lisa Strassfeld, who now left Pentagram is at Bloomberg doing database. So that's kind of where I come from. And I'm just going to skip through this, because some of this is the kind of work I used to do at Pentagram Design with Lisa. And we worked on interactive displays, websites, and things like that. Also worked on the user interface for what's called One Laptop Per Child, which is known as the $100 laptop back then. So this is the kind of work I used to do, where you work kind of closely with the client, and sort of the process is always where the client comes with content, and they say, we have these photos, we have these videos, can you make a website for us that, you know, highlights our work? So this is kind of where, this is traditional sort of client service model work that I used to do. And I'm just going to kind of skip through this because you can go to these websites, by the way.
What was that website?
It's Dillis Cofidio and Renfro. So if you go to dsrny.com, you can actually get to that. But if you just Google Dillis Cofidio and Renfro, these are the architects that did renovating the Lincoln Center, and they did the High Line. They've kind of really ramped up fast from doing a lot of art projects to more public work in New York recently. But they used to be a total, like, they used to do all these art projects, and they had like almost no architecture work at all. Which, I mean, this, we kind of designed it to be around like 40 projects, but they ended up dumping like 100 projects on us. I'm just going to skip through this. Next one up, I'm really going to go through these fast. What is American Power? This is actually a project, another one at Pentagram Design, where photographer Mitch Epstein came to us and said, we have this body of work called American Power, and we also want to ask people about what they think of American Power. And it was kind of, it was a series of, this was actually interesting because he had a book of photographs, but he also wanted to describe it a little more, so there were always these kind of backstories that was written for it. Also, there was a billboard campaign that he put up these billboards of the photographs in where all the power companies are in Ohio. So people were driving by with to see a billboard. It's called What is American Power, and had like one of his photographs up, which kind of looks spectacular. This, you can actually find some of them if you go to the about the project section in this on this website. It's kind of a lengthy URL, but whatisamericanpower.com. Again, another instance of where he had his photos and we kind of designed around it. The reason why I'm going through this is because this is one of the last projects I worked at Pentagram Design for Allied Works Architecture. And this is an architecture firm based in primarily in Portland, Oregon. But they have an office in New York, and they've done the Museum of Art and Design and other, that's in New York actually, and other projects. And this project was kind of different because when we set out to do it, we actually gave them a plan for what kind of content they should have. So I don't know if the sound is going on this, but you don't have sound on this, I guess. Right?
Yeah, there is. Can you turn up the sound back?
Just a little bit. Because I think there's like sound going on in this.
Maybe no sound.
But so this stuff we kind of said, why, like, instead of showing what's traditionally known as architecture porn, which is basically just beautiful photos like that seen from like the waterfront and it's all beautiful and you know, but we said like why don't you just like make little movies that are about the architecture? This one is actually an architecture, like a sculptural piece that's sitting kind of here. So that's kind of the view that the piece of work sees instead of actually showing the thing. You can obviously go into these like little links to actually go into the details, but this actually is a Wieden Kennedy's headquarters office, and you know, we want to show how the space is being used. So this was kind of the last project I did there, and it kind of was a turn, like kind of was something I was thinking about more, which is about sort of, you know, thinking about the content and working very closely with the client to have this whole seamless process of working with content as well as executing the design. Because usually the problem is, I think, you kind of get dropped in the middle of the process where it's like, here, this is what we have, and you kind of have to deal with all that problem. But if you're kind of working from the beginning, you have a way better sense in which kind of direction to take these projects in. And this was very clear. So the waiting room was mentioned before. This thing, that website is, the website is quite different than it used to be, but this is a prototype that we put together at the Bay Area Video Collections Producers Institute 2 years ago, and these were made in 10 days, and at the end of the workshop you would present it in front of funders. So it's not like, it doesn't have all the details in it, but it kind of describes what the project's about. And in this case, it's kind of abstract because we wanted to have a kiosk in the middle of the waiting room. He was shooting a film. He's actually finishing the film right now. But we also had a lot of these kind of stories that he was collecting while he was shooting a film in kind of short form. So it would kind of introduce you to different characters. But the idea here is that because he's engaged with the hospital already, he has kind of this vast opportunity to work inside of the hospital. I mean, the idea of having a kiosk and just letting it sit there and like let people come to it just to, you know, was kind of impossible because I don't think anyone would actually do it unless they're prompted by a human being. So it's very critical that a lot of the people at the hospital were also very engaged in kind of sharing the stories of the people who are at the waiting room waiting. And some of these people wait for like over, I don't know, a day or two sitting there waiting for their insulin shot or something like that. It's kind of nuts. Kind of going to skip through this. So I'm gonna get to Granito. Again, this thing, this is actually another good example of, so this is actually a film that was released last year, the film crew worked very closely with an organization in Guatemala called the Forensic Anthropology Team, and they kind of excavate these mass graves and kind of do this DNA laboratory, like they go into the DNA and find who was actually killed because they're exhuming everyone's body, and they're basically trying to prove that, like, just find out who's actually in these graves because it was a mass genocide. It's like, I think it's the only genocide that happened in the Western Hemisphere. Actually, in fact, I think 2 days ago, when Guatemala's got a new government and they got this one of the generals in court, and they're charging him for genocide right now. So this project, because they were working with an organization in Guatemala so tightly, that when we set out to roll out this project, which is this thing that we called Every Memory Matters, again, this is another prototype that we put together during a BayFac Producers Institute project workshop. And it's glitchy. Video crashing? Okay, here. It's a little slow. But these kind of dots were represented different kind of content, and these were what we called memories. That would get collected throughout this process of when we were rolling out. So the idea was that we're working with the forensic anthropology team closely in Guatemala, who we train, and they get sent out to the mountains, and the youth kind of interview the elders and kind of slowly get them to talk about what happened during the genocide, because this part of history doesn't get taught in Guatemala. So it was kind of the idea to create this mass archive of all this kind of content that related to the genocide. And again, the way it kind of worked out is the sort of way that Pam, who's the director, and Paco, who's the producer of the film, their organization, Skylight Pictures, is kind of brilliant in putting together these sort of like a whole chain of, from film to outreach to all this interactive work. They kind of put it all together and sort of like they work from way from the beginning expecting this to happen. So they're kind of working their way around their funding in order for this whole outreach program to happen. So even the sort of the relationships that you create during the filming that are critical to the making of the film as well as the outreach, but also it's very critical if you're doing this kind of, user generated content thing, but because no one, like, you know, everyone's not able to just like hit a button and upload their video, but to have like this kind of framework around it where, you know, there's a whole chain of someone going out to collect the stories and kind of in response to the bandwidth problem. This one we kind of didn't really solve it. We kind of cheated it by saying, okay, here we're going to give these people, we have these video cameras, we train people. People go out to the villages, they record their stories, they go back to Guatemala City, they edit the films, and we would actually, the idea was that we actually burn the DVD and bring it back into the village, because all these villages, somehow these villages have their like little space with a TV and a DVD player, and they would watch films. So the idea was to actually bring them back a DVD so they can go through the content. So they don't, you know, because they wouldn't have internet access up there. So that's kind of, that's Granito, and this is the poster for the film, which is actually a kind of a funny project for me, because I've never done things like this, actually, like posters. But because we were just working from way before on the interactive outreach program, when it came to the part of doing the graphics for the film, I just kind of like went in there, and we used a lot of the evocative, like the imagery that evoked the outreach program. So the whole project was sort of, it had a very consistent visual style to it, including the outreach program. I'm going to get into condition one, which is a little video with this. Condition one, we started a year and a half ago. Danfang Dennis, who's a filmmaker who was at Sundance last year and got two awards for his film Hell and Back Again, and actually he's nominated for Oscars for that, for Hell and Back Again. He felt that his films were, I mean, getting an Oscars is reaching a wide audience, but in terms of the content, he still felt like it was a two-dimensional kind of, you know, a frame into what he was experiencing, what people were experiencing out in the field in Afghanistan. So he wanted to devise this camera system that were able to take you into these places. So we designed a camera system that captures sort of what, like, you know, your field of view, like 180 degrees in front of you, which is actually entirely off-the-shelf components. It's not like one of these proprietary hardware things. So we have this thing where we project that imagery into a sphere, a dome, kind of a sphere cut in half, and then the distortion kind of goes away. And what we've built for Condition One, like, and this is our first product, is an iPad app that lets you kind of move around in this content. We create a virtual dome inside of the iPad, so you can move around inside of the content and look around different parts of the video, which kind of, it has some elements of being sort of like a first-person shooter thing, which is kind of a strange connotation, but it's there. I'm going to show you a video, but before I do, I just want to say that this one, I also worked with him very closely from the beginning. We sat down when I watched the rough cut of his film to kind of get into what he was trying to get at. And earlier on, when we were discussing designs, it was very clear, like, because we hashed it out so early, that all the decisions that were made in terms of interaction design were sort of really, we didn't have to struggle anything. It was like natural. We all agreed upon a very fundamental thing, and we just kind of like pushed it through. So I could get into more details in the discussion, but I'm just going to show you a short video of it, of the product. And I have, in case you actually want to use it, I have an iPad in there where you can dick around with it. This was actually one of the things that we did was sort of, when we did it, it was like, he had this idea, it was like, oh, you can have these globes that you can drop in and experience the stories. And I was like, no, like, who sees the world that way? Like, no one, I mean, not no one, but not a lot of people see the globe. So, but the way you would enter a story through someone is actually through a human being, I think. And it was one of the things that I got to know Dan Fung's story through meeting him. So we just said, okay, why don't we do this full body interview and have, like, for example, for this, Patrick Chauvel take you and explain you why he does what he does and what, like, how he gets into this story. And so that's why we kind of didn't want to do the map or list or database. It's not like a human being talking to you. And like we thought that it would be more immersive to do it that way. So this kind of goes on for a bit, but you can move around. I'm going over time here.
It's okay.
And I apologize for being very mumbly.
Was this shot for the app?
Yeah. So that should be it. I have an iPad, so if you want to check it out later, you can play around with it. So that's it. Thank you.